Our passage from John, from Mark's Gospel is in a number of ways about foundations, about something on which we and others can stand. In a way, the baptism of John the Baptist had to do with foundations. Here the people were returning to the wilderness to be baptized. There is actually, in the testimony of Scripture of the Old Testament, reference to the wilderness time as sort of an ideal period. So, for example, in the book of Jeremiah, we hear, "Thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest." And a predecessor, actually, or one who is considered a predecessor of the prophet Jeremiah, namely the prophet Hosea, describes, basically mentions how God will return the people of Israel to the wilderness. "Therefore, I will now allure her," this is the language of the prophet Hosea, "and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. From there, I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And then she shall respond as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt." So what John the Baptist was about seems to be returning to the spiritual roots of the people of Israel. Now, what we have with the baptism of Jesus is very much has to do with the roots of our own faith, and that those roots have to do with the identification of Jesus as the Son, the one who is the beloved, in whom God is well pleased, and the one also who is given of the very Spirit of God. The heavens were opened and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. So, considering first of all the matter of Jesus as Son of God, now, here we have just one person identified in this way as being Son of God. And it's on the basis of him that we are included as God's children. In the scriptures of the New Testament, Jesus refers to God as being the foundation of our being. So, for example, when he's in dialogue with Sadducees, people who deny the resurrection, he takes people back to a passage of scripture from Exodus, which says, "I am the God of your Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Jesus remarks that God is not God of the dead, but of the living. The very being and essence of God is the foundation of our own being. And what that being is in its completeness is yet to be seen. In the resurrection, we have the hope that we will be like him, namely like the Son of God, because we will see him as he is. So the foundation of who we are comes from the Son, Jesus, this single person baptized by Jesus. Now, a sign of all this, a sign of our being that it has its foundation in God's own Son, is the church itself. Now, how strange it is that God chooses some very human instruments to reflect foundations. We think of the church as being, sometimes it looks to be on the point of extinction, hardly something that we put our ultimate trust in. And yet God uses the church as a sign of the community that he is bringing into being. where there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, all are one in Christ Jesus. We find our identity in Christ, but it is to show in the church, and the church is to be a sign of the kingdom which God is bringing into existence. Now, maybe that seems far-fetched, but I remember once preaching a sermon in my previous church in Thorold to the congregation there, and reflecting on the time when our family left a previous church and I went back to study, and we inhabited a semi-detached dwelling in London, Ontario, in one of the less desirable areas of the city. That's what we could afford. In order to be rent from these people, we had to provide a whole series of references, which is usual, of course. But from being a minister of a church to seeking a rental facility or a rental home seemed a far stretch. I suddenly descended from being somebody, perhaps, to someone, to being essentially nobody in a circumstance where I had to prove my identity. Well, I mentioned that, and in this one sermon in Thorold, where we were, and the wife of one of the former ministers of that church spoke to me after and said how much she had identified with what I had said. She and Bill Skelly, Mary and Bill Skelly, had lived in Dunville, Ontario. He suffered a heart attack not long before he was due to retire. And they moved back to the home which they had sort of retained over the years on Glenridge Avenue in St. Catharines. And the nearest church happened to be one downtown where they went, and it was as though they didn't exist. People paid absolutely no heed to them whatsoever. They felt that they were not welcomed, really. So they eventually returned to St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Thorold, where they became active and very much part of the congregation there. So we may think that the church is relatively insignificant, or some people may tell us that, but often when in the actual experience of life, the church can be an affirmation of who we are as people in the sight of God, can be a reflection of the community which God is bringing into being, ultimately in the kingdom of God. Now, a further aspect of the foundational quality of what is expressed in this passage from Mark's Gospel, which deals with Jesus' baptism. Jesus is named, "You are my son." It's also said of him, "You're my son, the beloved. In you I am well pleased." Now, as human beings, we think of being beloved as being associated with naturally certain behavior on our part. It happens that, of course, Jesus is the one who lived by faith in his Father. Jesus, the Son of God, lived by faith in the Father. Jesus also was given this commission to be a servant of the many, to be reflective of God's humbling of himself for the sake of the world which God loves. So the Jesus' faith and Jesus' this service into which Jesus' life was directed is the same sort of faith that he calls us to. In fact, it's by our own faith in Christ that we then attain a life of faith and a life of service of neighbor. All of that by being in union by faith through in Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the the basis, the foundation of our life. I mentioned God has included us as his children, while God also enables us to be his children by awakening in us the spirit of faith in him through Christ and the spirit of service of neighbor as exemplified by Christ. Now again, God uses a very human instrument to affirm this foundation that we have in our faith. I've spoken of the church as being one of the instruments. Well, the Bible itself, and particularly the Gospels themselves, are the instruments which God uses to awaken this faith and to call us in the way of service of neighbor. And yet, the Bible is, well, certainly we read it in church, purchased around the world, but not necessarily well read. And the Bible, particularly the Gospels, have as their goal to awaken faith. Mark's Gospel begins the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And many of the Gospels reach their focal point, reach their climax, really in the death of Jesus on the cross. And the death of Jesus on the cross is Jesus exhibiting to the nth degree his faith in the Father, and also dying for the sake of the sins of the world, dying for the sake of the world. So the Gospels, perhaps more than any other parts of Scripture, focus on achieving this awakening of faith in those who read and calling them into the life of service. And yet, such small works they are, they can be read in an evening. The whole of Mark's Gospel can be read in one sitting. But it's through such means that God calls us into the foundation, which is faith and service of neighbor in union with the very Son of God. Now, in this passage, it mentions that just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. Thanks to the Son of God, through whom we are incorporated as children of God. Thanks to the Son of God, through whom our own faith is awakened, our own service of neighbor is encouraged. Thanks to the Son of God, we also can share in this Spirit which was given him. Now, we live in a world where there's a great deal of emphasis on what is new. And so perhaps the saint, if you could call it a secular saint, perhaps the saint of the year was Steve Jobs, who died and was one of the chief movers of Apple Incorporated, responsible for all those iPads and iPods and other technological wonders. He was responsible for bringing a great deal of new technology to the world, and technology which has been very successful. However, today's technology becomes defunct in not too long an order, and we're thankful that through the Spirit of God, we have a reality which always has the capacity to make things new, make our lives new, and in fact there's the promise that as this Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, or God by the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, so from that same Spirit God will give us a resurrection life. So the Spirit is the means whereby God can bring what is new and creative to our own lives and to the world. And yet again, God uses a very humble reality in order to bring this about, namely our prayer. Our prayer, by our prayer through Jesus Christ, it's a motivation of the Spirit that achieves that, but it's also thanks to such prayer that this God's Spirit can come into our lives and transform them for good, and can transform the Christian community of which we're part as well. It may seem odd that God has chosen such unlikely means to be the foundation of life, or to point to the foundation of life, namely the church, namely the scriptures, particularly the Gospels, including Mark's Gospel, and including our own prayer through Jesus Christ. It seems odd, perhaps, that God chooses such apparently flimsy means, but yet God uses those means, and God backs up those means to achieve the ends which he wishes. And so I think the passage is an encouragement to us to hold on to and to affirm and to value the foundations which God brings us through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, namely the church. God, it's up to us to value and affirm also the means whereby God wishes to encourage faith in us and in all people, namely the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, and particularly the Gospels, including the Gospel of Mark. And it's up to us also to affirm that and utilize the means that God has given us in prayer, prayer through Jesus Christ, in order to receive the promise of the Spirit whom he wishes to give us, in order that he may make all things new. Thanks be to God that through his Son he has provided the foundation for our lives, the foundation of our hope. Amen.